has come. Well, just as I said, we're sharing very briefly this morning, but you do have a bookmark this morning, which you can follow that along if you like. You might want to open your Bibles to the book of John, John chapter 15. As we know that the name of the church is Grow Church, and our theme this year is actually Grow. And the word Grow has four elements to it. The G stands for growing people, R for releasing ministry, O for outreaching globally, the W for worshipping together. And so we're looking at the R at the moment. We're looking at releasing ministry. We started to look at this a couple of weeks ago. We looked at Mary, the sister of Martha, and her brother's Lazarus. We looked about how she anointed Jesus and how she poured out that offering upon him and how wonderful that is. And I want to talk today about love to serve. And I hope every one of you can say, I love to serve, and that also that you serve also to love. But I want to have a look at a scripture in James chapter 2 before we consider John chapter 15. James 2, it says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? And so each one of us, it's a very important expression, a part of who we are as Christians, as believers, that we are people that are actually actively engaged, that we're involved in serving, that we're actually involved in giving, we're actually involved in imparting the life that Christ has abundantly given each and every one of us. So let's have a look at John chapter 15, and I want to read verses 8 to 17. This is a classic passage about Jesus being the vine, and that really without we have no function, no identity, no purpose, really no existence apart from what we have in Jesus Christ. But we want to read down from verse chapter 8. And this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. It's an interesting passage here. Look at all of John 15. There's like little parentheses in each little section, areas that are repeated. And I really want to look at this section, which is really highlighted between 8 and 17 or 8 and 16, particularly where it talks about us bearing fruit. And one of the things is that as a Christian, that if we are truly a disciple, that we will bear fruit. It says that if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will bear fruit. Now, ultimately, the fruit that God looks for when he comes to you, comes and expects your tree, he's looking for a particular fruit. Ultimately, the fruit he's looking for is the fruit of who you are. Who you are is far more important than what you do, because you can do a whole lot of good stuff and still be very rotten. And so it's who we are is what is really essential and so very important. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit. It's the character, it's the eternal factors, it's what we take into eternity is who we are. That's why character, all of those things are so very important. But also there is the fruit that comes of serving and imparting the life that Christ has invested within us. And we certainly are encouraged to do that. If we are really a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and we are growing in integrity and purpose and truthfulness and honesty and love, joy, peace and all the fruits of the Spirit, all of those things will be a part of us. But also we will be actively engaged in giving out the abundant life that Christ has given us, imparting that into others in various ways. So if we truly are a disciple of Christ, we will be involved in serving in some way, imparting in some way. And the scripture tells us when it talks about that we must bear fruit, it says that we're chosen for that. It says, you didn't choose me. Sometimes I think, Lord, I chose you. I come to you. He actually chooses us. He says, I chose you and I appointed you. I set you aside. I've created you. I've given you a job to do. I've given you a task to do. I've appointed you for that very purpose that you might bear fruit. And if you're a true disciple, then we will be bearing fruit. And the kind of fruit that he's looking for, it's the fruit that's going to last. The lasting fruit ultimately is who you are, as I said. You are the enduring fruit ultimately. But the things that we do things of eternal value and the things of eternal purpose. That you can do a whole lot of stuff that takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. But ultimately, we want to do things that have ultimately eternal consequence. That's really our heart because we're kingdom-minded people. And that what we do, that it glorifies the Father. And that's what the Lord rejoices in. It says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to my disciple. The reflection of the radiance of the glory of God is certainly who we are and reflecting and modeling the character and Christ, being Christ-like. But also that we are involved in doing things and involved in helping, serving, showing people the love of Christ. We talk about loving to serve, and that's what we're talking about. This passage starts off about talking about love, because if you try to serve without love, you're going to get into a lot of problems. But it starts off knowing how much the Father has loved us. In verse 9 it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now just think about for the moment, to the same level, to the same degree, and in the same way that the Father loves the Son, that is the same way that the Son, that Jesus loves you. Just think about that for the moment. Think, how much does the Father love the Son? Now that's the perfect expression of love, the unity between the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, perfect unity, perfect love that expressed. But the same degree that the Father loves the Son is the same way that the Son loves us. Now I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind away. If I just meditate that on a moment, just think about that. You can never feel unloved or unwanted if you know that Jesus loves you the same way that the Father loves the Son. Now that just blows me away. If you ever want to know what love is, that's what to be loved is. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll know a little mirror of love. You might know a little shadow of love, but you'll never know true love until you know Christ love, because the same way that the Father loves the Son is the same way the Son loves us. And the love that's been shown to us in Christ has been modeled in sacrifice. We've had communion, where we remember what Jesus did upon the cross, that he died on the cross in our place, that by the punishment that he endured was actually our punishment for our sin, because he was without sin, and he died in our place that we may have the promise of eternal life. It was a sacrificial love that Christ has modeled for us. And so it's always got to be a love relationship with God. Everything that we do has got to come out of a love relationship with the Lord first of all. But loving him, it's not the end of it. So, well, I love you, Jesus, therefore I'm going to serve you. No, there's something else. If you have a look at these things as we work through them, they actually all flow down together. So we love him, but the second thing it talks about, obeying him. And once you know that Jesus loves you, as much as the Father loves the Son. Our natural response is, Lord, I want to obey you. Lord, I want to do whatever it takes to please you. Lord, I don't want to cause you pain. Lord, I just want to please you because I love you. You love me so much, Lord. How could I ever want to do anything other than love you, Lord, and do the very things that please us, and so that we want to walk in obedience to do what pleases him. And it tells us, the scripture tells us that very quickly, that if we do that, he says that if you obey me, if you know how much I love you, you're loving me, and you're choosing to walk in obedience, he says, I won't just call you a servant anymore, because a servant doesn't know the master's business. Servant just does the job, doesn't understand the big picture, doesn't understand the broader context. But if we have such a heart, then we have an understanding of the big picture, that the little bit that we do makes a big difference, because you see where it fits. If you don't know the big picture, you're doing a little task, you're doing something, you think, well, what is this? Doesn't really matter. No, if you see the whole picture, you see this actually is a very important cog in the whole thing that happens. And if I don't do this, something is going to be lacking. Something's not going to be happening. And so that if we know the love of Christ and we're obeying him, it says that he will reveal to us the master's business. We know what he wants us to do. The other thing, as I said, I got it very quickly this morning, it talks here about a joy. Because sometimes people, if you're serving just because God loves me and he loves me so much, therefore I better serve, you're going to miss out on something and your service will probably not last and you won't have a heart to endure in it. But it talks about a joy that we can have here. It says, I've told you this, so it says, okay, if you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. It's a very important thing to understand here. We think it's the joy that we have in the Lord. That is what is going to sustain me. Jesus loves me. He loves me to the same extent that the Father loves me, and that fills me with joy, and the joy of knowing that is what's going to sustain me. That's not what it's talking about here. It says His joy in me. The meaning of the word there is very clear. It's not the joy in Him, it's actually His joy which is in me, which makes a lot of sense. If Christ lives in me, as I'm a Christian, a believer, then Christ is in me, then His joy in me. It's the joy of the Lord is the strength. Not my joy in the Lord is my strength, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's His joy in me that sustains me. Because sometimes my own emotions might rise up. I'm going through a hard time or difficulty. Sometimes as much as I'm trying to be joyful, my own emotions can rise up and overwhelm me. But it's the joy of Christ, His joy within me, that just will keep bubbling up all of the time. And that is the thing that will sustain us. It's His joy within us. And it's so important that we're talking about serving and bearing fruit, that we do that with His joy within us. Because sometimes our own emotions will go up and down, and we'll end up into happiness rather than joy. Because happiness will go up and down. Happiness always depends on what happens. Good stuff happens, I'm happy. Bad stuff happens, I'm not so happy anymore. But His joy is what sustains us. So when we're called to serve, He calls us to do it knowing how much He loves us, working a life of obedience, but allowing His joy in us to come out as we serve. And so it's never a burden. People who give up and, oh, it's too hard, it's a grind, I've got to drag myself, I've got a lunch on today, I've got to drag myself there and done it. It's because you miss the joy in it, you're going to not sustain it, and your heart will be wrong, your attitude will be wrong. The other thing it talks about here is about loving one another. It says, my command to you is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Greater love. And so what it means is that there's a response that happens. It's a responsive love. So you cannot, if you're not serving somewhere, if you're not outreaching in some way, if you're not actually giving out in some way the life that Christ has given you, then there's something missing there. You may be a believer, but maybe to be a disciple has to actively be engaged in giving out that life that Christ has given us. And it talks about, my command is love each other as I have loved you. What a standard of love is that? As I have loved you. How has Christ loved us? Completely to the point of death. He has loved us. He cannot love us anymore. And he loves us as much as the Father loves him. How amazing is that? In fact, the prayer in John 17, his prayer in John 17, we haven't got time to look at it. Jesus prays, he says, Lord, I pray that they'll end up loving you as much as I love you. That's what he prays in John 17. He prays, he says, Lord, my prayer is that they will love you as much as I love you. Because I love them as much as you love me. And I want them to love you as much as I love you. Ultimately, that's the standard of love. But he says, love each other as I have loved you. And that's got to be a motivation in serve. Because if you're a believer in Christ, you will want to outwork all that Christ has put in you. And that love will come out. And it is an expression of that. It's a practical expression of God's love and loving one another. Luke 10:27 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we're told to love one another. Your service, those ladies that will be serving us at the lunch today, that'll be an expression of love that they do that. And we've all got to be expressing that in some way or another. Every believer wants to become a disciple needs to be actively engaged in giving out the life that Christ has done in serving, in giving and loving, in caring, giving out the life of Christ. And so it tells us to love one another. And we express that in service. It says, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends for everything I've learned from the Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and pointed you to bear good, to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. The scripture also tells us, it says that in verse 13, that greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Christ did that. He demonstrated that to us. And he wants us to live a life, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where Paul said, I've poured out my life like a drink offering, that we're pouring out our lives. And that's expressed in service. That's how you do it. You can say, oh, I love people and I love God. But if you never serve, if you never show love or grace or compassion, then you may be a believer, but you're not a disciple, because a disciple will bear fruit. In fact, not only bear fruit, much fruit. He's looking for much fruit out of every one of our lives. And so that's the Lord's heart in us. I wish I had more time this morning, but I'm going to stop in 2 minutes' time. But my encouragement to everybody is here this morning is that, well, are you involved in serving in some way? Are you involved in touching people's lives in some way? What is your heart? And if you are you doing that with the right heart, knowing how much that God loves you? Yes, Lord, I'm walking in obedience to you, Lord, and allowing his joy to be expressed out of your life. That's what he wants, his joy. My joy, but as his joy is in us, then our joy is made filled. There's nothing more fulfilling than doing what God has called you to do. And you're serving in the house of God. You're serving, touching lives in the community. There's nothing more fulfilling than that. Your joy is actually complete. But you've got to do it with a love for people, loving one another. Because if you miss out on loving people, then what you do will become a grind. It'll become a drudgery. And you'll just do it. And you'll just treat people as if they're just another thing or another object, or here comes someone else. But our heart has got to be to have that love and just give that. And I encourage you, where are you serving? What are you doing? How are you imparting that? Are you a disciple that is bearing much fruit? Because that's what Christ is looking at. And I'll close with just reading this from the Message translation. John 15:11-14 from the Message. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I loved you. And this is the best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You're my friends when you do the things that I command you. So our heart is that every one of us will be serving, touching, reaching out in the community. We released this booklet a couple of weeks ago. You say, well, you look, really, I'm a believer and I love God, but I really want to be out working as a disciple. If you're not sure how I can do that, where I can do that, grab a hold of this. It's got every area that you can be involved in, from music to helping with the kids club to whatever it is. And if you want to say, I want to be a disciple, I'm not just a believer, I'm a disciple, I'm making a difference, I'm making an eternal difference, fruit that will last. Grab a hold of one of these, find out what you can do, that you can be released in the ministry that God has for you. So let's stand, we're going to close right now, and I'm just going to pray for us. So let's stand and we'll just pray together this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, first of all, for the incredible love that you have for us. And Lord Jesus, that you've said that you love us to the same level that the Father loves you. Lord, we just are so honored, Lord, and overwhelmed by a sense of your love, Lord, that you love us so much. And Lord, our heart response is, Lord, that we want to work in obedience to you, Lord. We want to please you, Lord. Lord, one who loves so dearly, Lord, we just want to show you our love, Lord. We want to just walk in obedience to you. Lord, we want to remain in your love. We want to walk in that love every single day. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that your joy is in us. Father, whatever our own emotions tell us, whatever the circumstances tell us, Lord, your joy is within our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that your joy will rise in every heart this morning, Lord, that we will stand in the joy of the risen Christ that lives within our very hearts this day. Father, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, just because we love people, Lord, that we will serve, Lord. We won't serve and let it be a bondage to us because we're missing joy and we're missing love. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that we will show your love, Lord, have a genuine love and compassion for people, to love and to serve them. Lord, I pray that, Lord, in your wonderful name, Lord, stir that in every heart, Father. Lord, let us express that love in service, Lord. Lord, you modeled that, Lord, when you washed the disciples' feet. And Lord, who are we if we just say, no, I don't need to do that? Lord, let us be ones who serve. Lord, to give everything, Lord, even to lay our lives down, Lord, even as your word has said. So, Father, I commend you people this morning. Lord, if anyone is here that doesn't know you today, Father, doesn't know what it is to be loved to that extent, Lord, that even as the Father loves the Son, Lord, they don't know true love. They don't know true life. Father, I pray this day, Lord, they will come and say, yeah, I need to know Jesus. I need that love in my life and I need that joy in my life this day. So, Father, I pray that you will stir the heart, Lord, over lunch today. Father, they will come and say, yeah, I want Jesus in my life. Father, I thank you for those in recent times that have given their heart to you. And Father, may there be many more, even this day we pray. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. We're now going to have